This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about therapy. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Therapy got a tech makeover during the pandemic. More therapists started to offer their services online so that they could still serve their clients. And therapy apps became more popular. From Talkspace to BetterHelp, apps that offer virtual therapy promise easy access and affordability, two issues that are major barriers to getting mental health treatment. Does the promise of reaching more people hold up? Micah Hazel looked into what happened in Reno when the city decided to take a bold step toward providing free virtual mental health services.
Sarah Zobler learned about therapy apps in the most non-techie way possible. A Talkspace billboard she spotted while driving in Reno, Nevada, where she lives.
I knew therapy and I knew apps, but I had never even thought that such a thing existed.
She'd been looking for a new therapist for a while. As a rabbi and a mom, she didn't have time to search forever.
The reality of therapy here in Reno is that waiting lists are months long. I have kids, and the scheduling of when my therapy sessions would be would often either interfere with work or interfere with me actually being home for my kids.
Therapy apps like Talkspace claim to have the answer to this problem, making therapy a text away. It was sort of like matchmaking. Sarah downloaded the Talkspace app, put in her recommendations, and the app suggested a therapist. Turns out, she found the perfect match.
I hit it off so well with a therapist on Talkspace that I stopped looking for an in-person therapist here because I'm enjoying Talkspace a whole lot more.
She loved the ease of Talkspace, not having to rush to in-person appointments, and being able to vent to her therapist in real time.
I'll just go on a text flurry and I'll like fill up her app with all of my rantings about this thing that happened Wednesday night, and I'll get something back from her Friday morning, but it will be really thoughtful.
The real kicker for Sarah, though, was that Talkspace
is essentially free to anybody who lives here in Reno, which is just bonkers to me.
The deal began with Reno's mayor, Hillary Sheevy. She'd been looking for therapy after losing her brother and sister at the end of 2020, but found that appointments were all booked up. Ultimately, she ended up finding help through Talkspace. At the same time, Reno was faced with a significant chunk of expiring coronavirus relief funding. So the mayor decided to put the money towards mental health. Together, Reno and Talkspace came up with a $1.3 million deal, free access to Talkspace for all Reno residents, 13 years and up for a year once they signed up.
My assumption is anything that sounds good or helpful and that is related to the internet is probably a scam.
That's Topher South, a teacher living in Reno. He says the only thing more surprising than the program being free was that it happened in Reno, of all places.
Northern Nevada is a weird place because there's this dual energy where there's sort of a artsy, progressive people who are in touch with their emotions and that kind of thing, and also this cowboy attitude of just keep pulling on your bootstraps, and if they snap, super glue them back on and pull harder.
The deal was good at reaching folks who had therapists or had tried therapy in the past. As for whether or not it was reaching communities that traditionally couldn't afford therapy, that was unclear. 3 months after the rollout, Talkspace confirmed that only around 1,400 residents had signed up, a fraction of the 200,000 eligible residents. Local therapists argued that the money given to Talkspace should have just been given to them, that they were the key to reaching more communities. However, the small number of signups raised a question bigger than Reno. How could therapy apps, with their smartphone requirements and millennial-based marketing, actually reach communities that traditionally can't afford therapy? Terica Tolliver is a psychiatrist for Novotel Telepsychiatry, where she does remote therapy exclusively. She was happy to hear about the Reno deal.
I've never seen mental health talked about so freely. So once you normalize it and make it easily accessible, I think that that definitely helps communities be able to access it and feel comfortable accessing it and not feeling like it'll be a burden at all.
But Terica says making therapy apps and virtual therapy accessible starts with making the technology accessible.
You definitely have to think outside the box here. Not everyone has access to everything. A lot of our clinic partners, they purchased iPads and phones, and then they would loan them out to any clients that needed them.
As for getting the word out to communities that can't afford in-person therapy, Terica says accessibility starts with actually going into these communities to spread the word. This means sharing resources through the places and people the public actually interact with, like public libraries, firehouses, doctors, and urgent care workers.
So if they notice that this client may be dealing with depression, maybe dealing with anxiety, just being able to give them a resource. Hey, have you thought about this? Have you checked this out? Do you know that the city is offering this service for free? I think that that is how we reach lower income community.
Accessibility aside, whether or not virtual therapy actually works for a person will always be a case-by-case basis. Topher, who's in his 30s, wasn't virtual therapy's biggest cheerleader after trying it out.
I'm going to text at this person I haven't met about my darkest part corners of my brain. I don't know, that feels weird.
Comparing it to more traditional therapy, I definitely felt that I had a closer, like, personal relationship with my in-person therapist.
This is Sarah Richmond, one of Reno's residents.
Having an hour-long session face-to-face, that time I think definitely adds up to help building a rapport. I did feel that that was a little bit missing from the app.
It's one of the most common complaints with virtual therapy, how difficult it is to build a rapport through a screen. Psychiatrist Terica Tolliver says it takes work to make the virtual setting feel as natural as in person, but that it can be as easy as taking advantage of the simple fact that the patient is where they're comfortable.
So I've had clients that cannot get out of bed, and we've had a session right there when they're in bed. So it's literally meeting the client where they are, but still giving the care that they need.
That story was reported by Micah Hazel.